Joining me now, Kathy Branzell from the National Day of Prayer Task Force. We're going to talk about prayer. Kathy, welcome back.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. So, you know, I often ask listeners where in the Word they are before they walk their faith out into the world that God so loves. But it also occurs to me that I should be asking, you know, have we prayed yet? Did we rise to prayer? Did we bow in prayer before we, you know, rose to the concerns of the day? So let's just lead off with the why we need prayer, why we actually as people need prayer. And then let's pivot to, you know, how we might be praying during this 4th of July week and weekend.
That's good. So we need prayer for lots of reasons. If Jesus needed prayer, if the Son of God needed prayer, needed to go talk to the Father, then how much more do we need to? And so I think about how, first of all, we need hope. And the only way that we have hope is to put our faith and trust in God. And you don't put your faith and trust in someone or something that you don't know. Here on earth, we say groups move at the speed of trust. And how do you build up trust? Well, you get to know each other. And we can do that in God's word, and we do that in prayer. When we read God's attributes, his unchanging attributes, because we have such a changing world, like every 5 minutes right now, right? But God is unchanging, and his word is unchanging. You don't have to wake up in the morning and go, I wonder what kind of mood he's in. I wonder what changed last night. So that we need prayer so we get to know God. And secondly, so we have hope. Because when you understand an all-powerful, all-loving creator, sustainer, redeemer, it goes on, then you have hope. It's not up to you. And then secondly, so we can incline our ear and hear from him some direction for the day, because between COVID and prejudice and injustice and the stock market and everything else going on in our world, we can actually make things worse if we run out on our own and our own understandings.
And I'm making notes because I value not only your perspective, but your wisdom and the grace with which you share it. Kathy, when you consider the concerns of the days in which we live, when you consider, you know, COVID, not only here, but around the world, when you consider the concerns of people in Hong Kong, when you consider the concerns of the Uyghur population in China, when you consider the concerns of millions of people across North Africa, you know, where a new wave of locusts is about to be hatched and swarm upon them. And then when, you consider the unrest in our own country related to a racist history and racialized violence today. How are you praying for us this July 4th?
So many ways. But right now, this came from the strangest verses. Okay, that if somebody said, what's your life verse? Nobody probably would go to Nehemiah 3. But God took me to Nehemiah 3, which is where it starts talking about them rebuilding the wall. And it says, it goes through a list of names and what that person did, a perfumer and a forger and all these different people. And it says, and next to him was, and it gives a name, and next to him was, and next to him was. And so I'm praying for a next to one another, a united coming at this with the love and strength and giftings that God's given us, because we were each uniquely, fearfully, and wonderfully made for such a time as this, for such a mission as this, that the only way that that we're going to rebuild across this world, because we've been praying God's glory across the earth, not just across my state, my nation, but across the world. And the only way is if we've got shoulder to shoulder doing all that we can do, all we've been gifted to do, all the resources that we have, shoulder to shoulder, and I can name the person to my left, and I can name the person to my right, that there is true friendship, true fellowship, and true serving one another and with one another, and in that way, we will overcome to the glory and only in the power of the Holy Spirit.
When we, I wrote down united and coming together, and next to him was.
Mm-hmm.
What you're talking about is not just proximity. There's lots of us, you know, like running into each other today and particularly smashing up against one another in social media and those kinds of environments. Mm-hmm. But there's also this, like, you know, weird social distancing reality where we don't even get to really spend time in the company of other people right now. There's a lot of isolation. There's a lot of growing despair related to that isolation. Talk with me about how we pray for connectedness and a reconnectedness in the midst of a time when we're such a strange time of social isolation.
Well, I would ask in every situation, you say, what am I doing to steward what I've been given? Because I actually heard somebody say on a Zoom call the other day, oh, the world just seems to be falling apart. And before that word apart even came off his lips, I heard God say, yes, but my plan is coming together. And so how am I stewarding this crazy time where I'm used to only being home maybe 3 days a month, and now I have been in my house since March? And the answer is I'm using it to spend more time with God, able to get more things done in ministry by not flying to and fro. But I've reconnected with people all over the U.S. because, you know, we were a military family that I haven't seen in years, just to say, how are you holding up? You know, that is the crisis question when you go in as a chaplain, as a rapid response chaplain, or anywhere as a first responder, that how are you holding up? How can I pray for you? And my prayer time for people by name and by need has just been exponential, because that's how I want to steward this time instead of hopelessness or maybe binge watching something, even something worthwhile. And not to talk too long, but I have been on the phones and on Zoom calls and watching podcasts and reading books for the last 4 weeks to educate myself. I've been on this learning tour in my home about our past and present problem of injustice and our need for racial reconstruction. And so what can I learn? And then I've been praying into that constantly.
Kathy, why don't you and I take a very brief break, and when we come back, I want to lift up just some practical ways that people could pray on this 4th of July. You and I have read some similar material on this, and so we're just going to go through some very practical ideas for each and every one of us this 4th of July week, this 4th of July weekend, as we come before the Lord. And as in the days of Nehemiah, we recognize that there is brokenness and there is despair, and we are going to have to come together alongside one another and pray and, yes, work for a rebuilding. So continuing my conversation after the break with Kathy Branzell with the National Day of Prayer Task Force. We'll be right back. Continuing my conversation with Kathy Branzell, who heads up the National Day of Prayer Task Force. You can follow her on Twitter at PrayCat. Cat is K-A-T, not any other kind of cat. Let's talk about, in fact, decidedly no other kind of cat. Anyway, let's talk about some really specific ways for people to pray on this 4th of July.
Yeah, so the first prayer that I would recommend that we spend a lot of time in every situation is first, God, search me. Holy Spirit, just search throughout me and show me where I'm fearful. Show me where I've sinned. Show me anything that isn't of you, that isn't helpful to me and my service to you, and remove it from me. And then when it's revealed to you, confess it and ask forgiveness. And then you always, once you sweep the place clean, you have to fill it. And so pray God's word. Social this and social that is a moving target. Culture is a moving target. That's not what we fill ourselves with. You want to fill yourself with the unchanging word of God and start praying God's word. Read his promises and say, Lord, I cling to those. Lord, I claim those as truth. What you have said in heaven will be done on earth. And then you volunteer, because we're all called to serve him, and you say, Lord, please show me, give me at least one opportunity today to show your love, to live out this scripture, to share the message of Jesus Christ in my life. So we can take this time, and where maybe the church has become a place where the outsiders believe that we're nothing but haters and hypocrites, that we start living out the love of Jesus Christ and prove them wrong. And have them draw near, because we have to remember that those that are rebelling, those that are doing things that are scaring or upsetting to us, don't know Jesus. And until they know him, nothing will change. And so start praying then for others, as you've asked for chances to show and share the love. And you can do that on a Zoom call. You can do that on a phone call. You don't have to leave your house right now if it's not safe and put yourself at risk. You know, I this will be controversial, but I would say wearing a mask to the grocery store shows love, because what I'm saying to you is, if I have COVID, I don't want to give it to you. I know people that, you know, it's funny how a medical mask can be so controversial right now, but putting others before yourself instead of living a I'm going to do what I want, when I want, where I want lifestyle. We are following scripture that says honor the interest of others above yourself. And then just love. Just love. You have to stop and ask yourself and pray, Lord, show me when I don't have a fruit of the Spirit attitude. Show me when I'm living out rotten fruit instead of Holy Spirit fruit. And then every night and every moment that you can, give thanks and live a grateful life. This 4th of July, we are blessed to live in America. Not perfect, but being perfected. And I've traveled all over the world, and there's no place like home. And so we need to give thanks and live in gratefulness, even in these hard and challenging days, that we live in America, and pray those songs, those patriotic songs, that declare that we're, a nation of God, and we're praying God bless America, and our Pledge of Allegiance says that we're one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Turn that into a prayer and just celebrate this season for 4th of July and beyond.
I think that the Declaration of Independence, makes at least four references, express references to the reality of a creator God who is, provider and judge. And I think that, and the giver of, the granter of inalienable rights, like God is the one who gives all of that and creates us in that way. I think that there are so many places, the songs that are celebratory, not only of the nation, but of the God who is very present and ready, stands ready to help us live into the aspirational words, right? Because they're just words unless we bring them to life. And I do think, Kathy, that right now when people look at those words, there's so much criticism hurled, at actions of people in the past. And so we have to say, yeah, I acknowledge that, but I still want to aspirationally pray that this would be a country with liberty and justice for all. Like, I don't want to abandon that. I don't want to abandon one nation under God, indivisible. I don't want to abandon, the reality that all people are created equal. We have not lived into that reality, but it continues to be not only the truth, but our aspirational life together. And so I appreciate you turning us in that direction as well. That's so helpful.
It's important for us to celebrate and be grateful. But remembering we have to stay prayerful because we're not perfect.
Right, exactly. I was reminded, even just fireworks, right? I mean, bombs bursting in air. you know, we use something that is really, really scary reality in many places in the world, even in this very moment. And, you know, we use them as a way to mark a marriage, or as a way to mark a holiday. And so I just think that even helping people remember that that fireworks are evidence of war, like that's but a war won, and now we've turned it into something beautiful. And that power of God to transform something that really was awful into something that really is awe inspiring.
Yes.
is important as well. Like we worship a God of transformation and redemption.
That's good. You know, and going back real quick to so you're quoting Star Spangled Banner, and so you know that was written right outside Fort McHenry as the war was going on, and he was watching the fort and just watching for the flag to still be waving, and when he got up in the morning, the banner flag was flying. And I had the chance to go to Fort McHenry in 2013, and a busload of us showed up on our Pray for America prayer tour, and they were so excited. The National Park people were so excited we were there, because they kept saying, "Today we can raise the banner flag. Today we can raise the banner flag." And I was like, "What is the difference? I don't know what's the banner flag." And they said, "It's huge. See, every day, just a few of us can raise the storm flag." And that's what was flying during the war, the storm flag. But it takes a bunch of people, because it's so big and heavy, to raise the banner flag. But since you're all here, we can do it together, and we can raise the banner flag. That goes right back to the beginning of our conversation with Nehemiah 3. We need to be raising the banner of Jesus, but the only way we can do it is together. And we need to keep that flag flying. We don't need to keep screaming and fretting about the storm flag and flying our storm flag, you know, that just one of us can raise in fear and isolation. We need to come together in prayer and encouraging one another in Scripture so that we're raising the banner of Jesus Christ.
All right. Did you write that up somewhere? Because I'm going to need a blog on that.
Okay. Not a problem.
You just get busy. Get on that, girl. Get on that. All right. That's Kathy Branzell. It's always such an inspiration and delight to talk with you. Yeah, we need that Fort McHenry story up somewhere that we can all access it. If you need a place to post it, I'll provide one. Yeah, that'd be great. I'll post it on my blog and post it at myfaithradio.com. I just love it. That's so wonderful. Thank you so much. That's Kathy Branzell with the National Day of Prayer Task Force. You can follow her on Twitter @PrayCat. We'll be right back.